I'm sorry, listeners, but this show from March 25th wasn't recorded at the proper volume, so there's some feedback sporadically throughout the hour.
The Pacifica Radio Archive celebrates Women's History Month.
When we talk about the contributions that poor women, poor black women made, we're not supposed to acknowledge them as having been agents of history. And certainly not of having played a role in shaping what we might call feminist historical traditions.
Angela Davis, African American civil rights activist, author, and professor of the history of consciousness at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project, American Women Making History and Culture, 1963 to 1982. Funded in part by a grant from the National Historical Publications and Records Commission at the National Archives and Records Administration. For more information, visit us at pacificaradioarchives.org. Thanks for keeping our women's history alive.
It's Wednesday, March 25th, 4 p.m. It's time for Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Thanks for tuning in and allowing me to share stories from the homeland. That would be Kentucky. I've been out of town for the past 4 weeks, spending time with family in southeastern Kentucky and collecting sound clips for today's show. Also with me in the studio today is Dwayne Rainey.
In person.
Dwayne, you went with me to Kentucky for the first week. Do you have any stories or reflections to share?
Well, this time I didn't really like it that much because the pond was frozen and I couldn't fish. But one thing I really do enjoy is my cell phone doesn't work. There's no internet. There's no TV. And it's great just to be away from the civilization. I remember one time I was down there and I was reading a paper that was on your parents' kitchen table. I was like, Muammar Gaddafi's dead. When did that happen? I had to go back through like 2 days earlier. I just ruffled through a few papers to find out what happened. And so it's nice to be like disconnected for a little while.
Yeah, we get the paper, the Lexington paper, a day late just because it takes a while to get it there.
Crime is a front story.
UK basketball's front story in that paper. So basically I've decided this show's main themes are women and weather. But really, I guess it's just voices from my trip. You'll hear from Queen Sheva, a poet from Atlanta, and you'll hear about Harlan County Domestic Violence Awareness March. You'll hear about straight pipes and water pollution, a little bit about mining and drilling. You'll hear a song from Gene Ritchie and people talking about the snowy February weather and golf in the goat pasture and who knows what else. So first, I have a little story. So I was taking the bus back from Knoxville, Tennessee, a few days ago. I've been on the bus for like 10 hours nonstop overnight. And I really didn't care about my hair or much else or how I looked. And here's this story. I walked into the women's bathroom in the bus dock of the Union Station in Washington, D.C. to refill my water bottle. The cleaning lady was standing inside talking with a couple other women, and when I walked in, she looked at me and she said, "Excuse me, are you a man or a woman?" I said, "Woman." She said, "Sorry to have to ask, but people get scared seeing a man in here." I said, "It's not a problem. If I really cared, I'd make myself look more obviously a woman." And she said, "I just asked someone who said he had the surgery." And so I said, "All right then, go ahead and use the bathroom. But I have to ask." I said, "Yeah, it's hard to know when people are transitioning." She said something along the lines of, "If you were more clear, then people wouldn't be scared." By that time, my water bottle was filled, and I walked out. I have a little bit of a sore throat now. My voice is lower than usual, and my hair was sticking every which way, and I had on my winter boots and a denim work shirt with reflective stripes and my backpack and scooter. But honestly, when I walked away, I was about to cry. That it was my responsibility to clearly delineate my gender so other people aren't scared. All right, I can see, given the amount of sexual abuse of women by men, the women don't feel safe with men in the women's bathroom. There's plenty of creeps and pervs and abusers out there. And is there any female who hasn't had an interaction with one? Mostly I just want people to broaden their stereotypes of females to include women that aren't so feminine looking. After I left the bathroom, I got in the Bolt bus line. And the Bolt bus worker in the reflective vest who was going down the line checking tickets was a small, fit-looking, dark-skinned person wearing a winter hat and sneakers, smooth facial skin. And when they got close to me, I saw a couple of little whiskers on their chin, kind of like mine. Their voice didn't seem clearly one gender or the other. They were all business, but in that moment, I thought they were incredibly cute, and I wanted to hug them and kiss them for being so gender-neutral.
Well, so that little story inspired the beginnings of a poem. It's just the beginnings of a poem. It needs some work, but it goes something like, I got whiskers on my chin in case you didn't notice. I got breasts and I got booty and I got a woman's voice. I've been told I scare the ladies going in the ladies' restroom. Though I'm hairy like a wolf, I promise I won't eat you. Well, all right, the poem needs some more work. But all right, so next March is Women's History Month. And this is Queen Sheba, a poet out of Atlanta who I ran into at open mic night on my way to the bus station in Knoxville last Friday.
We are the women. We are our mother's mistake and our father's denial gone global now. We are the Sirah and the Psalms. We are the communication link between the Bible and the Quran. We are the secret message in the slave spirituals. The treasure hunter, our conjugal visits, oh, I can feel it. Riding the back of raindrops, licking my brow full of sweat and malfunction. We are the kickback from the shotgun butt on your shoulder. We are Nat Turner's last sane thought before the voices woke him up from that blackout blood on his machete and hands, pieces of flesh stuck between his toes. We wear the bruises as medals of honor. This time we red dot our target. We are circa 1934, Thurgood Marshall's test scores. We are the Tallahatchie River, filling Emmett Till's wounds with fish scale and coral, gently carrying his body to Graceland. We are the writing you'll never remember. The chip off the old granite, the perfect edges of marble, the slivers of stainless steel, leaving history behind in every fingerprint. We are the elderly lovers on the second plane during 9/11. They kiss and clasp their fingers without making a sound. We are the last breath before the shards of glass rip through their larynx. We are the lower class, drowning in the bottom of the Titanic, the Amistad, the 17th century hell on earth. We are the women, regurgitating meals we saved in the back of our throats to give our malnourished children seconds on floorboards. We are the 14th star in that Confederate flag. We are the hairs of stillborn slaves, used to stitch the black seam around the white stripes. We are India before the Till of the Huns. We are the campfire, moccasins, rain dance, hieroglyphics, shadow puppet dancing in embers, cave wall storytelling, Abenaki, Apache, Appalachian, Black Carol, Goro, Denny, Denny, Salini, Fox, Reggie, Kosovo, Kibi, Makina, Makenda, Yoruba, Igbo people, we are the women. We are breakdancing as a tribal tradition. No more passing the American go buck or doe or elk that only visit us at dusk. We are the intelligence and Lil Wayne's wit. We are the public lynching with this fiasco with Michael Vick. We're the Jews that have beneath the stairs. We are the slaves that hide beneath the stars. We are the priests that hide beneath their cross. We are the millions at death row earning a degree. We are the genus 6. We are only as strong as our latest execution. We are the 5%ers, the 12%ers, the 4,400, the heroes. We are the women, the Mary Magdalene, the village soldiers. We are that blue thing on X-Men that changes to whatever she wants. We are the chicken frying, wholemeal making Sunday through Thursday. We ask our men before we accuse them of cheating. Bounce a new one. Thank you, brothers. That was a shout out. We ask our men before we accuse them of cheating. Bounce a newborn on our hip, boil a bottle, balance a checkbook, check our emails, MySpace, Blackberries, correct homework, check homework, find the fours, report card, counsel about safe sex to your teenagers after finding condoms in what they thought was a hiding place, but nothing in a woman's house is a hiding place. Once, get dressed, get them dressed, fix their ponytails, explain to your middle child that a free lunch card doesn't mean you're poor, it means you're saving up to be rich. We are the women. This is not vote or die. This is running to the voting houses and graffiti the walls, ransack their ballots and Xerox our democracy 1,482 times per inmate and flip the bird to the Kinkles attendant waiting behind the counter to collect on paper owed to us. So find, search, dream, exercise. execute. Thrust your arms out of socket and have a presence. Because Gandhi's message is not a mantra, but a warning. Be the change you want to see in the world, because no one else is coming. They've lost our addresses. We don't live close enough to the sponsors to be on that.
Come on, girl.
We have to MacGyver our way with a paperclip, an old shoe, and a battery. Because God will give you the gift. God will give you the gift. But you'll never know what it is unless you open it.
That was Queen Sheba from Atlanta performing at the Birdhouse in Knoxville last Friday night. Continuing on the women theme, here's a clip from an event I went to with my dad a couple of weeks ago near our home in Kentucky.
It's Saturday, March 15th, and I'm here with for the Gentlemen Against Domestic Violence 100 Man March, sponsored by the Harlan County Domestic Violence Council. The goal is to challenge the notions of masculinity that equate strength with violence and control, and instead foster positive images of masculinity that will help us create a world free of abuse. We're gathered with umbrellas in the rain and hoodies, and pretty soon we'll take a little walk around Harlan.
Cheryl, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, I will. Hi, I'm Cheryl Cottle. I'm the domestic violence victim advocate for Harlan and Bell County. What we're doing today is this 100-man march against domestic violence. As you can see, we don't have 100 men, but we keep working on it. And we do this in conjunction with Sexual Assault Awareness Month to promote positive masculinity. Because so many times, domestic violence, sexual assault, masculinity is associated with bad things. And we know there are good guys, and we want to promote that.
Okay, my name's Robert Leo Miller, and I'm running for Harlan County Circuit Court Clerk. I came down here today to support the 100-man march. And this month, I think this month is domestic violence.
Sexual assault awareness.
Okay, sexual assault. And there's different things going on through the state and through the county. And it's just good to get out and support the these victims. And I'm running for circuit court clerk, and we've talked about some EPOs, emergency protective orders, and providing 24-hour access to it. I think that's something that these victims need, and they need it immediately. Like I was talking to her, she said it doesn't happen between 9 to 5, what's going on. So in the middle of the night, they need access, and they need help right away. So I'm just getting aware with that, and it's good to be down here on a rainy day.
Yeah. So. Sure. Could you say anything, too, about how the emergency protective orders work, what they are and how they work?
Okay. Emergency protective orders are obviously available all throughout the state, and what Kentucky law says is there should be 24-hour access to obtaining an emergency protective order. That's not always the case, but we're working on that. We're working on that because what we know is domestic violence doesn't always happen between 8:30 and 4:30. As a matter of fact, most of it happens after hours and in crazy times. So what we hope to see change is that every county does have 24-hour access and offer those victims the protection that they need.
What needs to happen for that access to be available?
Actually, it's just local officials taking a step and saying this is how it needs to be and making that available.
Is it because people aren't on duty? It's no one at work. I mean, police are at work, but then you have to go through the courts and there's no one at the courthouse. So what's the missing link?
Normally, that is the procedure. If it's during business hours, they'll go to the court clerk, and that's done. After hours, it's usually with the city police or here in Harlan is the Kentucky State Police because we have a post right here. And then normally what happens is they'll call the trial commissioner, and he has authority to sign those orders. Or if he's not available and it's really, really severe, a lot of times the officer will call the judge at home and get a verbal signature for the order just to make it happen.
If the judge is asleep or whatever, then...
Then sometimes, unfortunately, victims are told you're going to have to wait till in the morning.
My name's Will Miller, and I'm a physician assistant, a PA, and I've been practicing here in Harlan in the county for 18 years. I've known that they've had this walk annually now. I just wanted to come down and support their effort, and I've enjoyed being around the group. Okay, I got it.
You got it. All right, congratulations.
Yeah, Kentucky's playing basketball right now, so probably not a whole lot of men. There's a lot of men watching the game. It's a rainy day, but it hasn't dampened the spirits, and so it's comforting. It's heartwarming to be amongst your neighbors and support each other. Yeah.
That was a march to raise awareness about domestic violence in Harlan, Kentucky, a couple of weeks ago. I stopped by Safe Passage here in Northampton to just ask them a few questions about how emergency protective orders or the equivalent worked. I guess they're restraining orders. I just call them ROs here. It sounds like there's a little bit more support here with advocates who can help someone any time of day or night. Safe Passage also has a 1-800 number for anyone in an intimate partner violence kind of situation. That's 888-345-5282 if anyone needs a number. You can go to their website at safepass.org for any more information there. So on the way back from Harlan, here's another clip. This was in Kentucky a couple weeks ago.
Leaving Harlan, going along US 119, along the river, the Cumberland River, heading back towards Pineville. The river is full. It's rained a lot this week. You can tell how high the water was earlier in the week by where the toilet paper is hanging in the trees. It goes on for miles. Toilet paper and other things that you might put in the toilet, especially a toilet that didn't have to pass through a septic system like menstrual pads and wrappers and things. There are branches filtering like a sewage treatment plant. All the flotsam and jetsam from the straight pipes. The riverbank trees give a whole new meaning to the term sewage treatment plant.
Here's some more about the issues of straight pipes in eastern Kentucky. This is from an article entitled Straight Pipes Continuing to Plague Local Waterways from the Hazard Herald, and it's written by Bailey Richards. It's from July 18th, 2013. Straight piping is when a home or a business runs a pipe directly from their toilet or sink into the ground or into a nearby stream, and it's illegal. It's illegal to directly or indirectly discharge any pollutant to Kentucky's waterways unless the waste is treated according to a permit from the Division of Water. In 1998, Kentucky Senate Bill 18 made it unlawful to hook up electricity at a residence that doesn't have an approved waste treatment system, but it was still pretty well known that many houses had both electricity and straight pipes. In 2002, the Environmental Protection Agency did a study on the effects of human waste on Kentucky's waterways, and they monitored areas in Harlan, Bath, and Martin counties. And according to the study, the EPA observed some of the worst water conditions they had seen that were unprecedented in the United States, and in many cases comparable to water pollution problems that were prevalent in the 50s and 60s before the Clean Water Act. That study was in 2002. There have been efforts to turn the tide, but current testing shows that water quality in the region's streams continue to lag. But correcting the issue isn't easy. In 2002, after the study, the EPA called for immediate action from all levels of government to correct this dangerous and widespread issue. The solutions would be to connect residents to an existing sewer system or to create smaller sewer systems called cluster systems for those who couldn't be reached by city sewers, and to implement on-site systems like septic tanks. But that came at a total estimated cost of $3 billion. At that time, an estimated 40% of Kentucky's residents weren't connected to a sewer system. I'm not sure how many of those had septic systems and how many of those had straight pipes. So this article was written in 2013. In the 9 years following the study, poor funding and the failing economy prevented several of the organizations that were dedicated to correcting this problem from correcting it. Grant funds were used to pay for and install septic tanks and to hook up residents to existing sewer systems, but then the grant funding ran out. One of the organizations that was trying to address the problem was called Pride. They would take flat-bottom boats down rivers and creeks to find homes that used straight pipes, and then they would offer to install septic systems and pay for them with a grant. In those 9 or 10 years, they replaced somewhere around 1,000 straight pipes just in Perry County, which has improved the water quality in Perry County's portion of the North Fork of the Kentucky River. The Kentucky Division of Water and the Kentucky River Watershed Watch continues to monitor the levels of pollution in Kentucky's waterways. In some areas, there are gains, but overall, in 2010, the water quality report said that the waterways were still very polluted, and in fact, the problem's getting worse. So even though straight pipes are illegal, enforcement can be difficult. For one, neighbors are often unwilling to report on neighbors.
And also when there's a notice of violation issued on a straight pipe case, the enforcement cases often get mired in the enforcement process. When the EPA or Division of Water are made aware of a straight pipe, the offenders are referred to agencies that can hopefully find funding to correct this problem. Since grants and funds have run out, the solution to the straight piping problem rests mostly on the shoulders of residents, private funding, and volunteer groups. Without intervention, officials say, this problem will continue to persist and pollute more of Kentucky's most abundant resource.
That was from a 2013 article in the Hazard Kentucky Herald, written by Bailey Richards. A couple of things I'd like to mention in terms of the economics of putting in a septic system. Well, like the median household income in Harlan County is around $27,000. That's around half of what the median household income is in the United States. And another thing to keep in perspective is the destruction and disfiguration of the mountains all around Harlan for coal, gas, and oil. Mountaintop removal for coal, I'm sure you've seen pictures. But when you live somewhere and you go hiking through the wooded mountain paradise amongst the oaks and the pines and the beaches, you go hiking up a mountain and suddenly there it is, a moonscape on the other side. You just kind of want to vomit. Here's Gene Ritchie.
I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and the black bear so lately did roam. By cool rushing waterfalls, the wildflowers dream, and through every green valley there runs a clear stream. Now there are scenes of destruction on every hand, and there's only black waters run down through my land. Sad scenes of destruction on every hand. Destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. Well, I ain't got no money.
That was Gene Ritchie, a dulcimer player from Eastern Kentucky. I was talking about straight pipes, and they're definitely a health hazard and need attention, but how can people be expected to invest in trying to stop polluting with them in septic systems and stuff, when the coal companies are blowing whole mountains down and filling the streams and burying the woods. And that song Gene Ritchie mentioned, the coal company saying that everything was fine. And that reminds me of a story of, so my parents live on the edge of Pine Mountain and on the southeastern tip of Kentucky. And for the last 35 years, we've gone hiking up the mountain and what we always thought was their land. And then this summer, I was hiking up on the trail that we'd always taken. And when I got to the top of the mountain, there was an area about the size of a football field that had been bulldozed. And the geology of Pine Mountain is such that coal mining hasn't been done on that mountain. But oil and gas drilling is what's moving in right now. And so they were dozing to put in an oil well. And I actually talked to the guy in the dozer. He said they had to doze an area so big because, like, the way the rocks were, like, so little topsoil, they couldn't really get, like, a flat enough, big enough space. Like, the rocks kept sticking out, being in their way, so they'd have to doze off some more dirt to try and make a flat space big enough for an oil truck to come and be able to turn around up there in the top of the mountain. They said they dozed, it was like a mile and a half, I think, of just pure woods to just come into the dozers and push them all over to make a road up to that little oil well or gas well place. And he did actually say to me, "Oh, this won't hurt the environment at all." And so it's true. That's what they say. Anyway, every time I go home to Kentucky, I try and think about ways to work on those issues. And there's a really great organization called Kentuckians for the Commonwealth that does organizing around environmental and social justice kinds of issues. All right, so next, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back.
Wednesday nights, you might tune in to the Warm Heart of Africa to hear the funky, sinuous rhythms of Afrobeat. Or the pulse of Algerian rhyme music. Or the desert trance of Tuareg blues. Or township jive from Johannesburg. Or catchy soukous beats from the Congo. Those are just a few examples of what you might hear from 7 to 9 every Wednesday night right here on Valley Free Radio. Join me, your host, DJ Vinyl Scratch, on the Warm Heart of Africa, a celebration of African and Afro-diaspora music, culture, and history, delivered with a groove.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That's WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM, also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. And you can listen to archives of Out There at weatherbeard.com/Ruthie. Dwayne's got another PSA for us.
Yes, I do, from the Northampton Council on Aging and Senior Center. New service for veterans at the Senior Center. The Northampton Senior Center is pleased to announce a new service for veterans. Volunteer Paul Neville will use his experience working with the Department of Veterans Affairs, which can be a chore. Paul will meet with veterans and or their spouses by appointment only on the first and last Wednesday of every month. The Senior Center is located at 67 Conn Street in Northampton. For more information, contact the Northampton Senior Center at 413-585-1228. And also, I've seen an advertisement or a flyer that they also every Wednesday have a noontime meal for veterans at the Senior Center. So you can probably call and contact them 587-1228 to see what's on the menu.
Thanks, Dwayne. So, the next part of the show, I'm going to be talking about the weather. So, these noises here. This is red-winged blackbirds and goat bells. The goats are running through the pasture. This is from Kentucky a few weeks ago. That was in the mid part of March. But when I got there in late February, it was snow. Yeah, yeah. Well, you were talking about the lake, Dwayne.
Pond frozen with 3 inches of ice.
Yeah, no, hard to fish.
I chopped holes so I know how thick the ice was.
Yeah, you know when the ice melted. You know that my niece and nephew, my niece, when she was walking through the water looking for duck eggs, she pulled out the dead frozen cat that had disappeared in February, their cat, from under the ice. But, okay, so it was a snowy winter. Actually, my niece and nephew were out of school for almost 3 weeks because of the snow. You know how we get those robocalls here in Northampton when there's going to be a snow emergency or something? Well, they have the robocall system in Bell County, too. This one was about about flooding that happened as the snow was melting.
This is Albie Brock, your Bell County Judge Executive. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning accompanied by a flood warning for the entire area. Rising floodwaters accompanied with falling temperatures will lead to extremely hazardous driving conditions.
This is the past.
Wednesday night into Thursday.
This is not today.
Be prepared for flooded roadways and large patches of ice on all roads in the area.
Vice.
Again, the National Weather Service.
All right, that was from southeastern Kentucky. All right, next we have my dad, Jim, talking about why there's no school in Bell County, even though there's only a few inches of snow, how that can go on for day after day after day.
Or week after week this year.
Yeah.
Get in here and shovel that snow off the ball.
That's not my dad.
So people in Yankee Land want to know why it's so hard to get around when it snows around here and why schools are closed. And
it's just back country. Too much north side.
Yeah.
Well, we once lived in a house that was down along the creek, and a spur railroad was in our backyard, and the railroad was 20 feet behind us, and the creek was about 20 feet in front of us. And to get up to the road, you had to go up the driveway about maybe elevation of 30 feet, and it was down on the north side. So in the wintertime, the sun came over the hill at 11 a.m. and set at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And when there was snow, it took a long time to melt off. And we were not alone.
Yeah.
You know, we were not alone. Just getting out of the driveway and even up on the road was, they would see sunshine up there, you know, 11 to 2. Because mm-hmm. we're back on a whole down the north side of and all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you just didn't pick up and go.
So this driveway, it's about
quarter mile
long, yeah. And hilly. How'd you clean it?
I cleaned it the first storm, I shoveled a path maybe 3 or 4 feet wide, the whole driveway.
The whole quarter mile?
Yeah. And then I was able, fortunately, to start the tractor and put the scraping blade on. So I had that whole one path for traction for the tractor, because in the meantime it had snowed, then it had rained, mm-hmm. and then snowed again. Mm-hmm. And tractors don't run on ice. Mm-hmm. And so most of that path I did, maybe 100 feet of it, was ice. Mm-hmm. So I chopped ice, because that was back up there in the shady part. I chopped ice. And fortunately, I was able to get the tractor to have traction and plowed. you know, up and down and up and down. But even then, you didn't know whether you'd make it or not.
Yeah.
You know.
So in New England, it's pretty common for every other pickup truck you see on the road will have a plow attached to the front of it. Uh-huh. So when people live in that kind of environment, they just think, well, why doesn't someone just plow it? Just plow the driveway. Wouldn't kind of neighbor come and plow it?
Had my tractor out, I should have offered to plow for other people. And that would be tricky because you don't know what, when it's ice like that. And it was just snow, it's not too bad. No, there's, even with all the ATVs around here, these people don't even have little plows on their ATVs. A few of them do.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a pickup truck with a plow on it around here.
Only the county.
Yeah.
They have salt machine in the back and a plow in the front, red.
Yeah.
It says Bell County, you know. No, there's no, very little snow preparedness. Not enough snow.
Yep.
Not enough snow.
Not worth the infrastructure investment.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's the thing about the miners can get to work in their four-wheel drive pickups. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard people say, well, don't people down there know how to drive when it's snowy?
Not that much experience. Plus, they don't have snow vehicles.
Plus, I think people just don't understand how many of the roads are on curves on the edge of the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of that. Gee. Climate change is making our winters colder because it's moved the jet stream further south. Whereas the jet stream would be north of us and keep the winter up there. Now the jet stream is coming way down through Georgia and around that way. And so on that side of the jet stream, on the north side of the jet stream, is this so-called Arctic vortex or whatever there. Whatever they have, yeah. That's the other thing, that even though it's February for our place, was the coldest average on record or something. But in other places, the worlds are warming up. And there's more moisture in the air. We have more because of that jet stream in the summertime. We get a lot more water, a lot more rain, a lot more violent rain.
That was my dad, Jim Woodring, with some geese in the background. Yes, my niece and nephew, they're 8 and 9 years old. They missed a lot of school. And one day I was there. They went to school, but they had a school delay. And I asked my niece why, and she said,
because in the basketball, there was a game yesterday, and it went on really, really late. So when it finished, it was super late. It might have been 1 in the morning or 2. And so they wanted the kids to have good rest before they go back to school.
Thank you.
Basketball's really big in Kentucky.
It's your only almost professional sport besides the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that game was actually the high school girls' game. They were going to the state championship. And so all the countywide schools, all the schools in the county were delayed for 2 hours. All right, well, here's another sport, not exactly a sport Kentucky's known for, golf. This is golf in the goat pasture.
This ain't going to get it off the ground.
I don't think he hit the ball a lot. He just hit the weeds. You know, pushed it.
It was the pressure being in the first place. That's what it was. Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Bang, man.
So I asked my nephew, Johan, and he's 9, almost 10. About the golf situation.
So as we walk up the hillside through the pasture, I see some tall bamboo sticks, like 15 feet tall, with white flags on the top, about 5 of them spread out throughout the pasture and the woods on the hillside. What are they all about?
Golf. This is a golf course, too.
Yeah.
And so the horse watches us play golf. Every once in a while, we'll play golf, and we've got golf clubs and golf balls, and then those are flags, and we use them to find the holes where the golf balls are supposed to go inside.
Uh-huh. Where did you get the golf clubs?
Well, Goodwill, for some reason, at that time, and Goodwill just had golf clubs. The entire history of Goodwill had it. Also, if you want to know where we get the golf balls, his papa, he finds them here and there when he's walking by the real golf course. The one that doesn't have any weeds and stuff. The one out of forest. It's bigger where everybody else goes and got the big sand piles. And he finds golf balls, and the birds tell him where they are. Uh-huh. And I think he's probably a wizard.
Papa?
Yeah. Or maybe retired wizard or something.
How did you get the idea to put a golf course in the pasture, the woods pasture?
Well, it wasn't really my idea. It was Papa's. Uh-huh. Well, thing was, I wanted golf clubs. Uh-huh. I always wanted golf clubs. So me and Milka both got one. So me and Milka have been playing with our golf clubs and stuff.
Well, what were you hitting with them? How are you playing with them?
Oh, we just swung them around and stuff. Uh-huh. And we hit rocks with them.
Uh-huh. Walnuts?
Ooh, we did do that every once in a while. Then the other part of the story is, so we were trying to fix the tire, the inner tube.
The inner tube on, for what?
A bicycle. And then Papa sees a bucket full of golf balls.
Uh-huh, that Papa had collected.
Yeah. Then we're all coming out here to get the goats. Uh-huh. Papa sees this pasture. Then he gets the idea, why? Golf clubs, golf balls, pasture, bamboo. White flags. We can make white flags. Why, we can have an entire golf course. And so, well, he took the tractor and took the bush hog and cut it down. And since it was winter, uh-huh, it didn't come back up. And so then he made greens with a different lawnmower and got the golf balls and got the golf clubs and put them right there in the stable of the hay, where they all snuggle up and cuddle until it's time.
That was my nephew Johannan from Bell County, Kentucky, talking about playing some golf. You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey's in here in the studio with me today. Dwayne Rainey, tell us about something else that's going on in town.
Behavioral Health Network helps individuals, families, and communities to provide improved quality of life with those with behavioral health and developmental challenges. Behavioral Health Network, or BHN, is a growing nonprofit community behavioral health agency that has been providing services to children, adults, and families and communities in Western Massachusetts since 1938. BHN provides comprehensive, outcome-driven behavioral health care. They are dedicated to offering high-quality, affordable, and culturally appropriate care to people of all ages, income levels, and multiple settings within our community. Behavioral Health Network office is located on 518 Pleasant Street in Northampton. For more information, please call area code 413-582-7961 or visit them at www.bhninc.org.
Thanks, Dwayne. I'm going to mention some other shows here on Valley Free Radio. I'm not really going to mention them. The computer will.
Every day in the electronic media, people talk, or more likely yell, about politics.
We do things differently.
Our job is to talk about the things that we hope will be of interest to you without all the shouting and anger.
We hope to provide facts and have reasonable discussions about the issues of the day.
That is to disagree without being disagreeable.
Join us every Friday at 7 p.m. for Civil Politics here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton, or anytime online at civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com.
Coming up after Out There at 5 o'clock is Democracy Now!, and at 6 o'clock, Alternatively Speaking.
Alternatively Speaking with Dr. Saskia Cote, a weekly wellness program
every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WXOJ LP Northampton 103.3 FM or streaming worldwide at valleyfreeradio.org. We have weekly meditations, informative guests, wellness book discussions, and more. Listen every Wednesday, 6 to 7.
I've got some more poetry. This is also from the Friday night open mic thing that I went to in Knoxville last Friday. This is from a poet named Courageous. Dwayne, I'm looking for this on the computer. Could you entertain the audience, please?
Why, of course. Don't take too long.
Okay. All right. Here we are.
So I wrote this poem. It's I'm trying to get a date, okay?
Okay.
And her name is Taylor Swift. She told me a long time. She's not really my type. I'm just being honest. Like, you know, I it's just something about Taylor Swift. I don't know. You know? So I figured, you know, if you shoot really high, you might land somewhere up in the sky, you know. So I'm gonna start at the beginning.
Hey,
you see what happens? I've already got my first email to you on auto draft. I've been a little too shy to say. Even though they call me courageous, right? I've hovered with my index finger over the enter button. It's like my soul is timid. But I just want to tell you hello and introduce myself and make you aware that I've been noticing you lately. And I can't really wrap my head around the thought that you might actually be willing to date. But what good is a chance if you never take it? See, I don't care about the media exposure. It's not for the cameras and flashing lights. I'm not the type that gets involved on social sites. I'm not a big city socialite. My circle, although small, contains the total makeup of my social life. See, I'm still the guy who invites the fellas over for homemade pizza night, right? I'm not active on Twitter. I don't really care about glamour or glitter. Not into the one-hitter quitters. And if you so happen to decline the wine and eat, well, we can talk and simply enjoy each other's company. I promise I'm not bitter. But I'm on a one-man crusade for a heart made of gold. And I got a feeling that yours might be 25 carats. See, you can't fake a video from your cell phone in the privacy of your own home, rapping gifts, rapping Kendrick, backseat freestyling. I have dreams of you smiling. There's something about those eyes and your voice and a song, and I swear to God, you look the cutest with a toboggan and a sweater on. And I just wanted to write you a poem. Because I'm not sure who does for you what you desire to do for others. You're like a kiss to the forehead of a lonely young girl without a mother. And why me? See, I'm not squeaky clean, but I'm a human being, and being human is what makes you attractive to me. And I just think we have a lot in common, honestly. See, you moved from your hometown to the middle of Tennessee, that volunteer state in a trapezoid shape, the place where my heart is, the place where I became an artist, and you fell in love with country music, started writing and open micing. And when I was 14, poetry became my life, and I started writing and open micing, and you wrote and sang and strummed your way swiftly to the top. And I won my first poetry slam before I was legally allowed to have my driver's permit. They loved you so much, your words became popular music. And I'll be honest, it's a fatal flaw. Being a full-grown man with a 365-day tan, I'm not your biggest fan. But I can see why she is. I listen. I dance. I turn it up a little bit when you're on. I have respect for your art, empathy for your broken hearts. I'm not a teen girl, but I will tell you right now, I will bust a move to shake it off in a heartbeat. See, I'm going to send you one of those letters. I'm going to send you one of those letters with boxes around a couple blank spaces, and I promise you'll never forget my name. See, I'm not a player, a hater, a faker, a heartbreaker. I'm just a man with dinner plans and an affinity for romance. And I just want to know if I could have this dance. May I have this chance for conversation?
That was a poet named Courageous, who I heard in Knoxville last Friday night. I'll play a little Taylor Swift in a minute. because, you know what, we've been talking about a little mountaintop removal and straight pipes, and Democracy Now! Is up next, so we got to lighten up a little bit.
Shake it off.
Wait, anything else you got to say, Dwayne?
Nope. Shake. I'll make one more announcement before we close out. Angela Davis is speaking at UMass on Monday, March 30th. I think that's a Monday. Is that Monday, March 30th? 8 p.m. at the Fine Arts Center. Free admission. The UMass calendar of events has more information. All right, thanks for listening. Shake it up.
Yeah, I played this song kind of for me, for all my mistakes. And, you know, if the radio show is not perfect, yeah, shake it off and go dance instead. Thanks for coming in, Dwayne. Stay tuned for Democracy Now. Stay tuned for Democracy Now. Up at 5 o'clock. Where's the right button? What button?